The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, 3-pointer. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
It is the Big Shot Bob podcast. Rob Jenner's B-Dog Brandon Harper, 7-time NBA champion, who's complaining about his wallet, Robert Ory. Well, we are on the precipice. We're taping this Thursday morning. We are on the precipice of Lakers-Suns Game 6 with on the Lake Show on the ropes here a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, they took a lot of body blows. I don't know if they're going to get up, but hopefully they will. You know, with AD being out with that pool growing, it's going to be a rough one tonight.
Hey, Adam Silver, push that button. Push the button. We can't have LeBron out the first round. That's not good for the product. No, sir.
Well,
hey, you're already looking at it like, okay, we could have had Steph Curry, but they lost. So we had Ja Morant, a rising star. Okay, we good with that. Okay, we go to the next round. Oh, if Jokic loses, okay, we got Dame Leonard. Okay, well, we got Booker. Yeah.
Portland.
Oh no, this ain't gonna work. We gotta have a mega star in there.
We got problems now because I think Portland's on the ropes too now, right? Portland's down 3-2.
Yeah, they are.
So yeah, you got some stars on the ropes. I mean, unless you're looking at here in Atlanta, most of your big stars are on the ropes. So
I'm gonna give it up to Clint Capella. Way to talk some shit, Clint. Yeah, no.
Clint's like, man, we gotta come into your house and do it. And everybody was like, oh, don't give him bulletin board material, Clint. And then they did it, man. They ran the Knicks out of that building.
You know, the thing is, you look at the Knicks. The Knicks were some overachievers all season. You know, Julius Randle was playing extremely well. You get to the playoffs, and all of a sudden, you know, his game is not the same. So, I credit that to the defense that the Hawks put on him. You know, everybody was like, oh, it's the Julius. But sometimes give the defense a little credit that it put him in a bad situation where he couldn't score or do what he wanted to do. They had him frustrated. And that's the thing. Once you get frustrated, your game can sometimes either go out the window or make you shine.
Yeah, that's a fact. You know, I'm proud of Julius Randle of the improvement. You know, I remember, you know, when the Lakers drafted him and seeing him in that Lakers jersey and just looking at what he is now versus what he wasn't then and just seeing the growth, you know, I salute to him. But, you know, a lot of times in this series, man, he wanted to be a guard so bad, you know, bringing the ball up the floor. I understand you're athletic, dog, and I get it, but you want to – go in between, and you want to be a guard so bad. You want to shoot from everywhere, bro. That's not your strength. That's not the Knicks' strength, and they got bounced out.
But you think it's a learning experience for him. It's his first time in the playoffs. Right. They're a young team. You know, the only vet they had was the former MVP Derrick Rose. And Derrick Rose is like, you know, he don't say much.
He was
just
their
leads
best
by
player.
Example. Yeah. And that's the thing is he's a vet. He knows how to handle the situation. He can keep his emotions in check. And I think with them, they just didn't know how to, you know, keep the emotions in check. And I know the Hawks are a young team too, but you got Capella who's been, you know, in the playoffs and some other guys who've been in the playoffs. So it boils down to keeping your composure. And I don't think, you know, you look at the way the Knicks played, they're a little too rattled for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you have a guy like Julius struggling too, it falls on, and this is especially, you know, this in the playoffs, it's about who's going to step up. Who's going to fill the void? Who's going to rise to the occasion? The Knicks didn't have anybody do it. They just didn't have anybody, you know?
So check this out. I think they shot about 150 or 56 threes, and they missed 100 out of 100 of 56 possible three-pointers in the playoffs. That's ridiculous.
So they shot basically 33%.
Yes. Exactly.
But you didn't realize, though, in the analytical world, that's fantastic, you know. And it's fantastic during the regular season, but that ain't going to fly in the playoffs.
Right.
I tell you, last time I shot 33%, you know what happened to me? I got cut. Yeah. The Lakers let me go.
I had
to find a new home.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can shoot that in the regular season, but in the playoffs, you know, if you shoot 10 threes, you got to make five or six, man. And that's the thing that these analytical people – that pissed me off. Oh, Ellen, we all know three is more than two, but the higher percentage is in the paint. The higher the percentages are closer to the basket. And if you keep shooting these threes and not making them and you lose, you take for instance the Lakers the other night. This was the most ridiculous stat ever. They shot 81 times. 40 of those were threes and they got beat.
Lord.
I'm like, you can't do that, man. It's just impossible to win like that way.
And you know, the Lakers aren't a great three-point shooting team anyway. I mean, you have guys who can shoot the three, but as a collective whole, they can't shoot the three well, and it was an embarrassment the other night.
Yeah, I blame Steph Curry, I blame Klay Thompson, and I blame KD because they brought in that former, and this is, you know, NBA, it's like, okay, who can I copy that's been successful? Oh, let's copy that team. But you forget, I got some players that you ain't gonna never have.
That's a
because
fact,
these are
right?
dynamic players, and you can. And this is the most ridiculous thing in sports. You know, I know copying someone is the greatest form of flattery, but if you don't have the same player to copy you, it ain't gonna work for you. I remember, it'll take your story back when I was the Phoenix Suns. We came out. Oh, we're gonna run a triangle like the Chicago Bulls. It worked for them. It worked for us. I said, no, hell, it ain't. They got Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman. That shit ain't going to work. And I mean, we actually played the Bulls one night. This was the downfall to me and Danny Ainge. We got out there and the Bulls put like 130 on us. And think about it, 130 back then was not.
It wasn't 130. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm exaggerating. It wasn't that, but we got blown out in Chicago. And we come back practice the next day and we're like, okay, we need to work on our triangle offense. I'm like, hold on, didn't we just give up 100 plus points? We need to work on our defense. They're like, defense? Danny Ainge, he had the nerve to say, you are worst defensive player. I looked at him, I stood up and said, hold on, motherfucker. I said, we got Weston Person over here, and I'm not going to say one of the greatest players ever played in college, Wayman Tizza, God rest his soul. I said, but we know Wayman didn't play no defense. Yeah. And we got Danny Manning, and we got KJ. And you going to say, I'm the worst defensive player on the team? You out your fucking mind. And right then, me and Danny just start hating each other more and more and more. Well, I won't say he hated me, but I hated him.
Yeah.
And then two games later, Cotton quit, and then Danny took over. And it was that's how the downfall started, with the towel in the face and everything for me. Because we were trying to run the Chicago Bulls triangle in Chicago, and they looked at us like, are you really trying to run our offense? You suck at it. Yeah. And they just beat the brakes out of us. And so you cannot copy certain people when you got megastars doing what you got little pintos or regular people trying to do. It ain't going to work.
Yeah.
Hey, Wayman Tisdale was a heck of a jazz artist. I still listen to a lot of his stuff
to this day.
Mm-hmm. Heck of a musician.
Yeah, but I agree with you 100%. You can't take somebody's formula and go, oh, we're just going to use the same formula over here.
Yeah.
It's just going to work. It's just going to be the same exact thing. And it's like, no, it's really not. But that, yeah. I mean, God, that's the NBA these days.
But
whatever's successful, everybody's going to do it.
But, you know, speaking of your best friend, Danny Ainge, you know, he steps down as the president of basketball operations from the Celtics, and somehow, some way, Brad Stevens gets to fall upward.
Who just got bounced out of the playoffs. He gets promoted up. Boston's weird, man.
I'm really interested to see who's going to take that head coaching job now. You know, it's a coveted job because think about it. You got two of the best young players in this game, and that's it on that team. That that bench is god awful. They need to get a bench because they starting five with Smart and everybody else are good, but they need a bench.
I'm gonna throw a name out there, Chauncey Billups.
No.
I'm just saying, don't be surprised. He's one of the three guys that they're looking at right now. Chauncey, Lloyd Pierce, and Jason Kidd.
The Jason Kidd experiment didn't go well.
So those are the three. So don't be surprised.
When it happened the first time.
I'll be shocked if they hired Jason Kidd. It's just because he is one of those guys that, had a great job twice. And I hate to say this because, we don't get too many. You know what I say about we don't get third strikes, So
sometimes we don't get second strikes.
Exactly. Just look at Mark Jackson. About Mark Jackson. He had the Golden State Warriors on the brink of being great.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, oh, y'all going to be good. Get out of here. It reminds me of the time when Pop took over the Spurs. Oh, they suck. Oh, we just drafted Tim Duncan? I think I'm a star coach. I know I'm president and everything, but it's time for me to coach. Cause we gonna be good.
The right time to step in.
Yeah,
I got all the players.
But how does you may have to break this down to me like I'm a 2-year old having a temper tantrum. But how does Brad? You know how people go up and down the steps. Some people falling down, slipping down the steps is literally you getting fired. He fell up the steps. Please tell me, how does he go from, okay, not being such a great coach, but then finding himself as the GM he went the head coach to the GM role of a professional basketball team. How does that work?
Well, I think when they hired Brad Stevenson, they probably made him some promises. And now that he is and the players, I think he has lost his players and they're not being successful. The organization, the team is not being as successful as it were when he first got there. But, you can't blame him, though, because he think about the players he had. And all of a sudden you bring in Kyrie, you bring in these other players, you get rid of the guy who broke his ankle and twisted it all up. That's management, man. You can't get mad at the coaches for the decisions you're making. And management, you got rid of my players. You didn't, make everybody happy. And so I think it might go hand in hand because everybody's relationship with the managers and the coaches are different. So, but he did fall up, though.
Brad, we're sorry about getting eliminated.
And Lord knows, maybe with Brad Stevens, he'll start pulling the trigger on some of these deals because Danny Ainge was bluffing a whole lot over the years when it came to pulling the trigger at free agency and making trades. We'll do it. Nah, we ain't finna do it. I was just playing.
Who's falling in that footstep is the Houston Rockets. We got picks. Who won it? That's like the guys outside the room. I got tickets. Who need tickets? No, dog.
I got tickets.
Picks.
I got picks, man.
I'm like, what the hell? Picks ain't gonna do anything. Even if you look at, everybody now looks at players, there's not a sensation like a Zion Williams coming down the pipe. I haven't seen one. My son hasn't been talking about one. I don't see nobody coming down the pipe. It's like, oh, we gotta wait and use this pick to get him.
Right.
There's no phenom coming down the pipe. So these picks right now they like fool's gold.
Because how many do you want? 4, 5, 6, whatever. Take as many as you need. It's empty currency.
Because those picks are, we know that these picks are not going to turn into what we're getting back in return.
Hell no. So. Hell no. And I mean, God, what the Clippers just saw that, right? With the amount of picks they gave up for freaking Paul George. And now they're on the ropes.
I watched that game last night. I love Ty Lue, and I want to ask him, dude, how in the hell you don't double team Luka? I'm like, you went small so you can switch everything. That doesn't work. All he did was put that big body on your small guys and treat them like a little kid and just went to the whole double team. It's like, there's no way that you let a guy who's averaging 30 points keep averaging 30 points on you. Get the ball out of his hand. No, it's two people you let Tim Hardaway Jr. say, okay, we're going to keep a guy on you, but all you other people, we're going to make you score Porzingis. Shoot that three all night. One every now and then. Go right ahead. But no, you're not going to kill us.
Well, hold on now. Because I would think if you have two of the greatest perimeter defenders since sliced bread that maybe one-on-one they should be able to handle old little Luka. You know, Luka this, Luka that. There's nowhere in the world that Kawhi and Paul George couldn't handle Luka Doncic, could it? It can't be. Not possible.
Man, let me just say this. If you watched the game last night, it's only one guy that guarded him well, and that was Morris. Because he couldn't bump Morris off, and he was tall enough to contest his shot. And the game shouldn't have been close because Luka just started selling. He didn't even want to drive anymore. I don't know if he was tired or what, but he started shooting logo threes. I'm like, really, dude?
Yeah.
I let you just – and I blame the coaches because he got scared because they put Morris on the big, and they couldn't run the pick and roll anymore because Morris was switching off on him. And they were like, okay, that's not going to work. Run another pick on someone else and do the same thing. It ain't got to be the big. And it was just – They lucky they won that game because if young fella, I don't know his name, would have just did a reverse layup instead of, you know, getting his sphincter all tight and passing it up.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I'm like, come on, young fella, lay that up. You had a reverse layup with your right hand. That's what I didn't understand. You got the layup with your right hand. You throw it out to Batum, who's streaking down the middle. I'm like, you know.
Another thing I don't understand about this series, you know, I would think most teams love home court, playing on their floor. A home team has not won a game in this series at all. This is the most anti-home court advantage series I have ever seen for the sake of my life. I don't understand.
You want a funny thing? So we was watching that, and you know the last time that happened was in '95 when Houston Rockets, my Houston Rockets team, we played Spurs. We went in their building 1-2, they get in our building and 1-2, then we went back in their building and 1-1, then we won game 6 at home. So Kenny Smith was like on TNT last night. He's like, oh, you know, this, and yeah, you know, we just did what we wanted to do, you know, me, Vernon. And so I text, I said, man, stop lying. Max wasn't even on that team at the time. So he texted back, oops. So then he come back on TV. Robert Ory just texted me and said, I'm lying. I am. I forgot Vernon wasn't with us at that time. I'm like,
there you go.
All right.
Hold him accountable. Don't have him lying up there on national TV like that. Hold Kenny accountable.
Well, Kenny wants to look pretty when it's time, you know, like what we used to do.
My wife was like, what did Kenny just say? Rewind that.
Did he just apologize to you on national television? You bet your ass he did. Bet your ass he did. Well, I mean, look, here's the basics is by the time we reconvene this show next week, we're going to have a much clearer picture of kind of where everybody stands because we're kind of on the fence with a few series. But initial thoughts on the Hawks-Sixers series?
You know what? It's going to be a good series. I'm interested to see. I haven't seen them match up all year, but I'm really interested to see how they match up with Trey. Who's going to guard Trey? I know they're probably going to put Danny Green on him, but I don't think Danny Green is fast enough for him.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, I don't see anybody who can guard him. But then again, if you know you put Ben Simmons on him, Ben Simmons is going to take him to the post if Embiid doesn't come back. So it's going to be a very interesting series. So I'm excited for this one. This is the first time in a while that I'm going to probably watch every game of a series if I can. This one and the other one, the Bucks and the Nets, because these are going to be some good series.
Yeah, Bucks Nets.
Yeah, sure. I think all this is contingent upon what Joel Embiid is going to look like. I don't foresee him playing because a torn meniscus, and you talk about rehab day to day, there's no way in the world Joel Embiid is going to be able to be Joel Embiid and be effective. Because what's going to happen when they start switching and Joel Embiid is standing in front of Trae Young, excuse me, Mr. Embiid, can I have this dance? I'm going to take what's left of your knee, and I'm going to take both of your ankles. So you might as well sit Embiid on the bench because he's your future. Don't ruin a 7
Well, and that's what I was thinking, too. If he's really banged up the way he's banged up, how much do you let him go? How far do you push that line before you go, we're endangering the future of the franchise? Because if he's going to be a player that's with us down the line and we want to build around him for years to come, how far do you let that guy go?
Well, you know, first of all, I think that he's not going to play in game one. Because they're going to see how the matchups go and how they can. Because if you really think about it, they still got a good team without him.
Yeah, they can
still
So they're probably going to run the
gambit.
He's such
a big factor in the way that they operate offensively.
Yeah, but you still, I guarantee you he sits game one to give him a little rest and see how, you know, they stack up against the Hawks without him. And if they think about this, if they mess around and win game one, they're going to rest him again for game two and they're going to roll with it until he get 100% healthy. But if they feel like they can't, you know, match up, and win this next game. And if he can go, he'll play. Just like I think AD will play tonight. So because I know I'm like, okay.
All right.
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. Look, Look, you're in L.A. I'm just a fan. You're there. You play for the organization. You have more ties. But I'm going to tell you this. This is from my eyes looking at my TV. I've watched Anthony Davis for quite some time. And we know that his pain threshold is not high. So he can say, I know, heard recently talking about, yeah, I want to play. Yeah, but your body has a whole different mind, brother. And your body, we've seen in every game that I've watched, you've hurt something. Now, it may not have put you out, but something has been hurt. You hit the floor more than a five-year-old having a tantrum in Walmart. I don't understand. Dude, I want you to play too, but you have a grade one groin sprain. You don't know how that's going to work out from day to day. This is not, you know, I got a hangnail or I got a booger in my nose. This is not one of those things where it can be fixed. You don't have a high pain threshold, bro. I don't know what I'm going to get from you in game six, but I don't know right now. I just don't know.
Yeah. You know, I pulled my groin in college in the NCAA tournament.
It still hurt. So, no, it still hurt, don't
it? I also pulled my groin a lot.
Think about this.
Too.
I hurt it against Wake Forest, and then we had to play the next game. We had to play Arkansas. That's 40 minutes of hell. And I had to play with a pulled groin. I messed around and pulled the other side, man. Was out the whole summer. I couldn't do anything the whole summer.
See?
So, you know, groins are tricky, man. You can run, you can go straight ahead, but once you try to plant that and step and go side to side, that's when you get in trouble. So, you know, Mayberry, Todd Day, and big old Oliver Miller, they wore our asses out. Boy, I think we lost by 15 plus then. But that, and then they joined the SEC, and then we got that ass back. So
let me ask you this, Rob.
Take it from Robert Horry, groins are tricky.
Let's say AD doesn't play tonight. Matter of fact, let's say we don't see AD for, if you know, somehow the Lakers win, you don't even see him for game seven. Starting with tonight, if you don't see him tonight, do the Lakers win?
No, I think they messed up, and the NBA did the Phoenix Suns a favor by having two games before that game five, game four. So Chris Paul got healthy, and that was key. And I, even though he got it hit last night, but it's just a stinger, you know. And when you're used to it, you get used, because we all have those stingers. But I don't see them beating them because they've gotten a rhythm. They figured the Lakers out. And the Lakers, they stand around too much. If you watch the Phoenix Suns, they're constantly moving on offense. Mm-hmm. I told them people, I said, I can go get under the basket, close my eyes, and just walk, and I guarantee you I touch a Laker. Because they're going to be in specific places when LeBron has the ball, and they don't move. They need to move more, and it makes it easier because now the Phoenix Suns just put a foot in the paint, and they just point the pistols, and you standing right there, you make it easy. There's no cutting. There's no movement. It's like, oh, this is my favorite spot. I'm going here. This is my favorite spot. I'm going. And that's what they do. They just spot up. You know, even though I made a career out of spotting up, but at least I was moving. I was sliced. I would come out another way and end up somewhere else. But, hey, and then my guy would, you know, my key player would drive at my defender and then kick it to me. So there's a lot of things that the Lakers aren't doing to keep them active, and it's playing right into the Suns' hand because – think about it. They got one big, and nobody challenges him ever. They all want to shoot threes. They never. I'm going to the hole because he's averaging 20 points in this series. Ayton, get him out the game, man. You know, and then you know, and the crazy part. We talk about Chris Paul. We talk about Booker, but it's Ayton and Cameron Payne that are giving the Lakers fits.
Yeah, very much so.
Cameron Payne is. You know, a glorified role player, but the man is acting like he's trying to make an all NBA team the way the Lakers are making him look.
He's playing like hey, my contract's up, and people have rated AC Fresh above me. Let me go at his ass. That's what it looked like. He's mad at Alex Caruso because someone said that he is a better guard coming off the bench than you. It's like he's playing with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good.
And it's hard. I remember doing the same thing when someone says they're better than you. It's crazy how all of a sudden you get pissed off and you play better. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I wish I could bottle it up and, you know, sell that shit.
Don't we all? Jesus. Mm-hmm. I do like that Barkley started calling Anthony Davis street clothes. I thought that was hysterical.
That was funny. At Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. Those other mobile companies make you think you're in control, but you're really not. They lure you in with shiny new phones and then lock you into long-term contracts. But Simple Mobile is different. You can get a 30-day plan starting at $25. You can also get the latest smartphones, or if you have a compatible phone you love, you can bring it. Just text BYOP to 611-611 to see if your phone is compatible. It's the reliability you need when you need it. All on a powerful nationwide 5G network with no mystery fees, no activation fees, and no contract ever. All for less money and no contract ever.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network is not available in all areas. 5G upload speed not yet available. Message and data rates may apply. Visit simplemobile.com/privacy policy for the privacy policy. Service plan required for activation. Terms at simplemobile.com.
Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
All right, well, listen, I want to go back in time throughout this last week because we kind of looked at a lot of stuff that's happening right now. But the past week in the NBA has been nothing short of Thunderdome.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome!
This is just plain stupidity.
You know, unfortunately, we have seen issues around the NBA.
Somebody poured some popcorn.
Somebody tossed a water bottle.
Well, we've seen some ugly incidents.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my goodness. What is going on? Out on the floor.
Boys and girls.
Just flat out stupid.
Yeah, it's an absolute shame.
Just a stupid thing to do.
Dying times here.
It's Thunderdome in the NBA these days. It is like full on... Who wants to fight? And here's the thing. I think we've collectively lost our minds after spending a year or so inside. I really think is what it boils down to. We have gone stir crazy. The Knicks fans spitting on Trae Young.
That was stupid.
At the Garden. Mm-hmm. You're an idiot, by the way. This is my favorite. The Knicks come out and announce the man was not a season ticket holder. Who gives a shit if he's a season ticket holder? He's spitting on players. Don't let him back in.
Dummy. You know, when they said, oh, we're going to ban them from the arena, big fucking deal. I don't care if you ban them. Because you know what? When you're the Knicks or some other team, there's someone that you got 500 people waiting in line to get that slot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I want you to call the cops because I'm like, okay, you just spit at me. And this is during the time of COVID. You know, you just endangered my life. So
I didn't even think about that COVID angle. I think about that. I'm just thinking, don't be an idiot and spit on people.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't even think about that angle.
There's so many things, man. People crazy. It's almost like when people get snowed in and like at the door as soon as the snowman, pew, let's just do something stupid. I'm like,
exactly right. Let's do something dumb. We're out of the house. The fan that dumped popcorn the same night on Russell Westbrook, and Russ looked like he was coming up in the stands to kill that man. And I'm like, it's popcorn. Like I get that there's, you know, you're frustrated and you're angry, you're coming off the court, you're hurt, but it's just popcorn.
Yeah, but it's also the principle. It's number one, that guy had the right one or the wrong one, because Russ already walks around serious.
Oh, with
he ought to walk around
shoulder.
With an attitude.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you know, being where he's from in Long Beach, California, you know, there are guys down there ain't, you know, from what I understand, have friends who are from that area. They ain't the nicest people in the world, but, you know, they're serious and they about their business. And he's the same. So when you pour something on me, regardless of what it is, I'm not an animal.
It's fighting time.
I'm not an animal.
Yeah.
I'm a human being. And I'm going to show you how much of a human being I am, because if they let me go and if I get anywhere near you, it's going to be me and you. It's going to be some smoke in the city.
They had to hold his ass back. He was going.
Yeah.
He was going.
The crazy part about it, he probably said, oh, them popcorn is going to be funny. And it is, you know, you got to understand, athletes, when they're in a position where he just twists his ankle, his season looks like it's coming to an end.
They're losing.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, he's losing.
You're already in a bad spot.
Yeah. You won the game. Go away. You know, like, and people think, oh, it was just popcorn. But no, dude, you got to understand, my mind is a certain way right now. Don't cross that line.
Okay.
You know, you want to slap a bulldog in the face with a piece of meat or some popcorn and not expect him to go out.
Watch me.
I know I'm not saying we're animals, but I'm just saying, though, it's just a respect thing.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I get that. On the 26th, by the way, all these incidents, the early ones happened on the 26th. Three fans removed from the Grizzlies Jazz game 2 in Salt Lake for going after Ja Morant's father, T, and his wife, Jamie, in the stands and coming out and making belligerent comments. Shaq would always tell us that Utah is a tough place to play basketball, that the fans in Utah are somewhat unrelenting. Did you ever have that experience?
Well, you know, I actually did. You know, they find someone and they just pick on you and they just say whatever they want to say. And it makes you mentally tough. And actually, I remember this is one guy who used to sit behind the score table and used to, you know, yo, Ari, you know, you ain't in Houston, you know, this is just, you know, say stuff. And then one day I looked down and said, shut up, you fat fuck. And then I was like, and then I went up to him. I actually apologized to him. You know, I said, yo, you caught me at a bad moment. I shouldn't have said that. And the dude was a heavy set guy. And it's funny thing, after that, he and I used to just come up and sit there and talk. He was a lawyer and we would just talk shop before the game started. And the thing about it is people can catch you in the wrong time at the wrong moment when you might, you know, I got something else in my mind. You know, I might have just made an investment that fucking, you know, went bust. I'm pissed off right now. Now yeah. I'm getting ready to go play in a game and you say something to me and you go off. And it's hard sometimes to control it because stuff would just come out of your mouth sometimes. You'd be like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't have said that.
That was bad.
Yeah,
idea.
Man. Look, I have no issue with fans, you know, yelling and screaming and saying, talking junk and doing. I like to do that as well, but there's a line. You know, there are certain things, there are certain words and certain phrases. You know, you're talking about somebody, mama, and their mama right there, and racial stuff. Like, I think the report with Ja and his father was like, they were saying some racial stuff towards the folks. And I'm like,
And people don't understand, like, when you a black man from the South, and this is, people don't think this is a racial slur, but when you say boy to a grown ass man, that is like almost saying the N word.
I get your ass kicked down here in the South, man. You know,
and people don't understand that. Like, what he just said boy. I said, no, until you grow up in the South and understand that's just the way them getting around and saying the N word. No, it don't work that way.
Because they don't say it like boy in South. They say it like boy.
Yeah.
Like it's very derogatory and, you know.
But, you know, big ups to Utah Jazz organization though for putting them on courtside. Yeah. You know, getting them out of that situation. Yeah. And you know, I most organizations says, nah, you know, I bet you that was the Philadelphia 76ers. They wouldn't have did that because I remember I saw J.R. Ryder's girlfriend when we played them in the finals in the stands, like, bah, going at it with some fans. So, you know, they booed Santa Claus, too. You know, those Sixers fans are a mother.
Philly's great,
and I'm going to tell you where I think, you know, the accommodating the family came from. That's where you have a Dwayne Wade part of your organization, where I think a lot of that came from. I'm pretty sure the owner obviously came from him, but D Wade probably, hey, let's take care of Jaws' family. Let's let them make sure that, you know, this is not the Jazz way. This is not, we don't condone this, and let's take care of them.
Yeah, for sure.
I know that the new owner, I think his name is Ryan Smith or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't
remember,
but he's a young cat. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't see any color. He's just all about trying to do the right thing and make the Jazz organization respectable. Because you think about it, you know, for a long time, the Jazz organization was perceived a certain way because it's in Utah, all the history of the players that have played there. So, you know, their image is changing. You know, you got one of the best coaches in basketball with Snyder, one of the most dynamic players. You know, they have to change. They have to change the outside look, you know, for that organization to really get recognized, because they're on their way to doing some special things. They can stay together.
Somebody said, like, before the series started, I think in game one, they were like, yeah, we're going to have a whiteout in Utah. And I'm like, well, that ain't that difficult.
It's already, you're pretty much there.
They had white shirts on all the season. I'm like, okay.
Mormons, you know, everywhere you look.
It's funny how they say it when they said that. I was like, well, they've had whiteouts in Miami too. Like, it ain't the same. It ain't the same. I'm like, oh, Lord. No, like, y'all taking this shit too far sometimes.
It just ain't.
No, it's extra white in Utah. White.
It is Mormon centric is what it is. Kyrie Irving getting the water bottle thrown at him in Boston at TD Garden. Didn't hit him. Came damn close. That one sort of shook me a little bit because that's something that, you know, hits him at the right speed coming from up in the stands. That could knock you out. I mean, that could hurt you.
You know, Kyrie asked for that, though. I'm just saying it because before he even got there, he's like, well, I hope there's no racial tensions. I'm like, dude, this is Boston. You know, Boston is one of those towns where, you know, is suspect in the first place. Now you just made them want to do something. You know, I'm not condoning what the guy did, but sometimes, you know, when you irk people, he'll say, oh, he wants something. Oh, I'm gonna go ahead and do it. You know, when you ask for something, it happens. But that guy should, you know, we should do with him. He should put him at, you know how you ever play? We used to call it booty on the pole. You do around the world, the loser has to, you know, sign a pole and you get to hit him with the basketball as hard as you want on the booty. That's a dirty South.
No, I never played that. It makes you
have to. What happens is you go around, you have to shoot. If you get out last, that means you got to get punished. And so everybody who's in the game, you stand up there and you have to hold the pole, and everybody get to hit you as hard as they can with the basketball on your backside. And so they should take that guy and everybody get water bottles and just throw them at him as hard as they can.
Yeah, y'all really didn't have much to do out there, did you?
I guarantee you would either play or learn how to shoot. That's what I'm saying. I ain't playing. Like, we talk so bad about you get to play, and it makes you learn how to shoot and focus, man.
But let me say something about
last
the
time
reasoning.
I played booty on the pole, I ended up with a daughter, so I don't know.
Oh, Lord, you know. Jesus. Oh, Lord. Let me say something about the whole quote-unquote reasoning for why they – through it, you know, the whole him going to center
court. Oh, he has a reason.
Well, they said because you know the footage of Kyrie going to center court and stepping on Lucky the Leprechaun, way that he did.
Mm-hmm.
People have Let me set this straight. You know, KG had comments and whoop de whoop, whatever. People have this. They take this pride in these logos. Fans do this extra sense of pride in these logos that I just don't understand. Lucky ain't a real leprechauns ain't real. Lucky ain't real. He's a painted white. He's a white leprechaun in a green suit. Ain't no black leprechaun. So he's just a leprechaun. But so stepping on his face, I don't under. Why are you so upset about that?
Just ask T.O. by stepping on a Dallas Star, man. You know what happens when you disrespect the logo, man.
Yeah, but the players took care of that. You talking about a fan trying to take care of that? That's different.
You don't step on white people in Boston. That's all I'm saying. You don't step on white people in Boston.
That's exactly how they sound.
I grew up in the Northeast, man. I know. I've dealt with those
Go
guys.
Sox!
You step Go on Sox! White people in Boston. Yeah. That's not how it works. Freaking Kyrie Irving. All right.
Costs our franchise.
and then to wrap out the Thunderdome, we had the fan run onto the floor during the Sixers Wizards in Game 4, which I do want to play the we love. By the way, Kevin Harlan remains my favorite broadcaster in all of basketball. He's just great. So anytime we can get a Kevin Harlan play call of a fan on the court, I just enjoy it.
Oh my goodness, someone was trying to go out on the floor. And a diving tackle by the security. With 3:40 to go here in the third.
The Redskins better look into hiring that man right there. What a tackle there by the security.
Well, and look how far the guy had to run. You know, there's a limited viewing. And they've taken out all the end zone seats, and quickly he is off the floor, and great job by the security in Washington. Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man!
Hey, but if you look at the guy, it's like, okay, he must be a WWE fan. He straight speared him, like, boom.
Bang,
like, okay,
took
I got
him straight
you.
Down, man.
Hey, and I'm just happy dude pants didn't come down because the dude tackled him, his face was right by his jump.
Yes,
I'm like, and dude was like, oh, I'm all good. Let me try pulling my pants.
Hold up. Yeah.
See, but he did have to show his hops, though.
He touched
the backboard.
He did. But that's the thing. From one angle, see, I didn't see the whole angle or the whole thing until later. I thought he came from like the end zone area, just came out and then got tackled. The man ran across, touched the backboard. But I'm going to tell you this. If the Redskins don't want Buddy, the Falcons could use him because they defense is Swiss cheese. They need somebody who can be on that side of the ball to tackle somebody like that.
Somebody recruit this man.
Yeah, but his thing is, you have to understand, like, if you watch the video, you see him coming step by step by step. And nobody just, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think
anybody knows what to make of that at first. It's like, is this a promotion? Is this something we're doing? No, this is an idiot.
Because, you know, they usually have someone sitting right there, and their job is to look up the stairs. And as soon as you start coming out of them stairs, they stand up and they like close the gate. I'm like, hey, you can't go nowhere. They were like, go on down there, buddy. I'm like, we ain't getting paid enough. Do your thing.
We're still waiting on COVID back pay. Go ahead. Go nuts. Go knock yourself out. Well, in the wake of all of this, I did want to play this moment from Barkley. And we talked about Charles earlier in the show. But this popped up again. He said this many times before, but it popped up again.
You see, y'all guys always get mad when I tell you what NBA rule I would change.
Which one is that?
I think you should be able to go up in the stands and beat the hell out of one person per game.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I can't see why that didn't take
so hold. You don't think that guy deserved to get his ass beat right at center court?
You should just be allowed one fan per game. Go beat his ass.
Hey, you gonna mess around and grab the wrong fan. That's going to be somebody yeah. who's an MMA star.
Somebody could beat your ass.
Get your yeah. ass knocked out.
And then you're yeah. out for the rest of the playoffs. How close, and I mean, we watched you chase Mad Max up into the stands in Houston, but how close did you ever come to wanting to go after a fan? Besides name-calling, which you brought up earlier.
Name-calling, that's about it. The only time I ever wanted to go up in the stands was when we played Auburn. It was, you know, some guy threw a cup of ice, Coke, I don't know what it was, and it grazed right across my chin. I looked up, and I was about to go, and I realized, man, my teammates are soft. You know, they ain't going to fight. I already tried to fight Kentucky one time, and they were soft. So I'll be by my damn self. So no.
So you didn't go because you didn't think they would have your back.
I didn't have no backup. I had no backup. No.
Wow.
Man.
But, you know, and then again, you got to think about it. It's you never know who he's with. And, you know, you might start fighting him. Next thing you know, you got – you get stomped down by three or four different people.
No, thank you.
Leave it to Ernie to bring the sarcasm. Yeah, I don't see why they never let that happen.
I can't imagine why that wasn't seriously considered by any means.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
All right, so moving on from playoffs and fans and all this other stuff, we had a big basketball announcement this week in Coach K announced that he is retiring from Duke after this season, which would make it 41 years as the head coach of the Duke Blue Devils, 5 national titles, 12 Final Four appearances, 15 ACC championships for Coach K in his 41 years at Duke. That is a run. That is legendary.
If you told me that, I could have sworn he won more. No more championships.
I know, it almost seems like, doesn't it?
40 years? Like, that's, and then you say, that's all you won?
I'm
like,
only won 5 in all those years?
It's second most all time.
Is he the best college coach of all time, you think?
You know what? I'm not
in the conversation. Maybe
he's in the conversation. You know, you have to have Wooden up there, and you have to have Nolan Richardson. You have to have a bunch of coaches that I think that are great coaches. But I just think, you know, Duke has run out of money, and they can't play players anymore to come in there. It's too hard now, and nobody wants to go to Duke. And you know, they all want to go to places like UCLA and. In these places, they're going to be one and done. So, Look, why are you looking at me like B-Hart?
Wait a minute. It's a couple of things he said that he must have got inside information because I didn't know, one, Duke running out of money.
Well,
two. They have a fund when they pay the players out of them in North Carolina. That's why they sucking now because they don't have enough money to pay those guys anymore to go to school.
Duke private as hell. They got all the money in the world.
I am totally kidding, man. I'm totally kidding.
But you know, I don't think we had a time to talk about how great Coach K is.
And
all of his greatness. Even if you were, you would still need some more time to talk about even more stuff. I mean, watching him throughout the years and change his philosophy, kind of like Nick Saban in Alabama. At one point in time, you know, he was a run and play defense coach. We're going to run the ball and play defense. But then you go and get Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian, and you open up your offense. Well, with Coach K realizing, hey, I want to be more competitive. Let me go back and get some of these one and done 5-star guys. And you saw it elevate Duke more than it already was, and they became more competitive. So I'm always about the transition of a lot of great coaches and the adjustments that they make, and he did that.
Well, I think he made an adjustment, but I think when he made the adjustment, he shouldn't have. I think when he started getting these one-and-done guys, it messed up his recruiting. Because guys look at it like, oh, I'm going to go to Duke. Oh, you got this one and done. And, oh, you can sit and wait till he's going. No, I want to step in as a freshman and play. And I think that's one of the hardest things to do if I was ever a college coach, to go out the one and done guy. The only way I would go out the one and done guy, if he just lived in the city that I'm coaching in. You know, like L.A., you go out to the one and done guy. But for me, I think if you brought some guys in and they work hard, look, you think about who won the championship this year? Baylor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those guys, shit, those guys were 21, 22. They was grown-ass men playing.
38-year-old men playing for Baylor.
Yeah. And so if you want to win, you got to have guys who come up the hard way. And that's just, for me, watching guys is, you know, you got, you know, you think of Carmelo Anthony. He's one of those guys that was one and done to help win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Chris Webber, you know, stuck around for a while. And it's just hard just to have, you know, I know Kentucky is one of those teams like, oh, we got one and done, you know, and we won a championship. But look at them now. They got a lot of one and dones, and they suck this
year. They're a mess. Yeah, they're a mess.
Yeah, and not all of them are leaving again. I think it just messes up your program. If you all about your program and not about that team that day. That now I know it's about winning a championship, but you have to build something. You have to build guys who come in there, and it's about the history of the game, the history of the college, and what you can do for that I keep saying organization, but for that university. So I think when he started going one and done, it just messed up the Duke philosophy. That's just what I feel.
But I will give Coach K credit for turning Duke into the biggest villain franchise in college basketball. Like, people just love to watch Duke
lose. That was Christian Laettner that did that.
Yeah, it was. And Bobby Hurley and some of those guys. Grant Hill. Like, that team, and the early 90s
team. What's that asshole I can't fucking stand? Danny Ferry.
Danny Ferry. Yeah.
They don't like him here in Atlanta either.
Yeah, it's not. Well, we did for a minute, and then he made some comments. And
that was the stupidest hire that the Atlanta Hawks could have ever done.
Well, he was doing okay for a minute, and then, it didn't go well.
But the fact that, you know, Roy Williams is no longer in North Carolina, now Coach K is leaving after a year, rivalry is always going to be there, but it's going to look the same. It's, you know, congrats to John Shire for being the coach and waiting.
Yeah.
Won a title with Duke in 2001. With Jay Williams. And so, congrats, man. Hubie Williams with the new head coach in North Carolina, right? Hubie Brown is the
Hall of
Fame coach. Right. Hubie Williams and John Shire are starting the new era of North Carolina Duke rivalry.
Well, we'll see.
Hold on. What did you call the coach at their name? What'd you say? It's Hubie Davis.
Davis.
Well, I was wrong twice.
I just thought about it's Hubert Davis, because, you know, he played with the Knicks for a long time. Played against him in the finals that one year. That's right. He can shoot that thing. I'm excited for him. He's a hell of a coach. He's been on that sideline for a long time.
Yeah. It's just a new era of college basketball, though.
Is he the first black coach ever in North Carolina? Yes, he is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My bad, Coach, for butchering your name. I mean to.
That's okay. He ain't listening.
So we don't know that.
All right. Well, a couple other things I want to get to here, because we're having fun, but we're running long here. I like that. A-Rod versus Kevin Garnett. I just wanted to bring this up for the fact that apparently Alex Rodriguez. And a guy named Mark Lohr, I believe is how you say his name, have a deal in place to try and buy the Timberwolves. They could take over by 2023, but the deal's hit some snags and stuff, so we're not sure. But if they do get ownership of the Timberwolves, the rumor is that Alex Rodriguez wants to move the team back to Seattle. And now Kevin Garnett has somehow gotten into the investment group specifically to try and keep the team in Minnesota. T-Wolves going to Seattle. You like, you don't like?
Let me just say this. I love Seattle a lot more than I love Minnesota. I know I'm not playing anymore, but do you want to go to Seattle where it rains all the time, to Minnesota where it's cold all the time? So it's your pick. Yeah. But I just know that Seattle has some great restaurants. I love Seattle. Minnesota does too. And I think you can't move a team to Minnesota. I think you just get an NBA should allow another team to go into Seattle. Minnesota has, you know, history there now. They have, you know, think about it. Kevin Garnett, you know, and Sam Cassell and Sprewell. They took that team to the, you know, Western Conference Finals. And it's a lot of history that was starting there. And think about it. You got the Twins. You got the Vikings. It's just too many teams there not to keep them there. You know,
you want the trifecta.
You want a little bit of everything there.
Man, leave that squad there and move the Thunder back to Seattle. Please, just
they ain't moving the Thunder.
Look, it's no disrespect to the state of Oklahoma and the city of Oklahoma City. I'm pretty sure it's nice.
It is.
Okay,
I know you don't like Oklahoma.
Look, I'm trying to butter it up. I ain't trying to have no enemies in other time zones. But you know, ain't nobody going to Oklahoma City. Outside of Norman, Oklahoma, where the University of Oklahoma plays, that's the pride and joy of that state. Other than that, what am I there for?
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't see them reversing course. That's the problem. You've moved a team here; they're not going to go, that's our bad, and take them back and move them back.
Why not?
That won't happen. They just won't.
Because
people don't like to admit when they fuck something up. They don't like to admit we made a mistake. They're going to ride it until it dies.
Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis ain't letting the Minnesota Timberwolves go nowhere.
Yeah. Did you see the Sky Pool that opened this week in London?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this, Rob?
No, I didn't.
All right. So in London, there's a high-end luxury hotel that has a pool that is connected between the two towers of this high-rise apartment building. It is 115 feet in the air, but it's a glass pool.
If I didn't know you didn't see it, I got the video right here. I would have sent it to you.
It is the most white people shit I've ever seen in my life, because what are you doing? Like, I mean, even to me, I'm like, this is insane. When they do the flyover, there ain't a black person anywhere near the top of this pool. It is just all white people, 115 feet in the air. Here's the craziest shit. The pool is suspended so that it can move with the wind and the building.
Oh,
and it's
hell
kind of
no.
Get me the hell out of here. Are you trying the Sky Pool in London?
No, because I won't even go in the room in Vegas where it's the box and you step out on the ledge and you can look down.
Yep.
I won't even do that. And I used to be a lifeguard, so I can fucking swim. You know, the thing where they said black people can't swim, I can swim. I was a lifeguard. So, no, I still ain't getting in that shit right there. No, negative. That's too far off the ground.
You used to be a lifeguard?
Yes, I used to be a lifeguard.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Sure.
Why is that interesting?
Yeah, I don't know. I just never would have pictured.
Because I'm black?
No. No, that's not it. Because I can swim, so and I'm as black as you can be. But I just never would. That's interesting. I just never would have, you know, pictured you as Robert Orr, the lifeguard.
Yeah, okay.
Did a stint on Baywatch for a few years.
I saved that story for another day.
Okay. Right. Yeah, but I ain't doing that either. Yeah. It's see-through. Number one, it's suspended between the two buildings, and I can see through it.
You can see the ground 115 feet below you. No, thank you. And they have that same thing, by the way, in Chicago. In Chicago, where you can go to the top of what used to be the Sears Tower.
It's
I don't know what it's called anymore. Yeah.
Willis.
Where you can do the step out over the ledge and look down. It just gives me, like, it makes every part of me just like, oh, God.
So, you know the eye they have in London?
Yeah, the London Eye.
They have some of them where you can step out on that. Oh. I was like, I couldn't even do that. I'm like, no, I'm gonna sit right here in my seat and enjoy the view from here. I'm not even going close to the edge. I'm a wimp when it comes to that stuff.
Does anyone have a thing about heights? Is anybody freaked out by heights at all?
Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead, because I'm weird with this.
You know, I don't have a problem with heights. I think one time my wife and I, we went to China, and I forget the name of the hotel, but we was on like the 150th floor, something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this part in the room where you can look out. And I just did this to see how high we were. Then I dropped back and never did it again. I can't. It's just a weird thing. And sometimes it affects me and sometimes it doesn't.
Okay.
I do have a thing with heights, but it's a contradicting thing with me, because a lot of the craziest things that I've done are pertaining to heights. Like, I've jumped out of a plane. I went skydiving 4 years ago.
That's some white folks shit.
Yeah, that is some white people shit. Yeah, it is. That's usually some white people shit.
I went for a friend of mine's birthday. She told me, I told her I was going to go with her. She said, no, you're not. I said, I can show you better than I can tell you. And I find myself jumping 15,000 feet out of a perfectly good airplane.
First,
that sounded like you was trying to get in there good, man. Was that someone you was trying to date? Or y'all just friends?
We just cool. Oh, okay. And okay. It was something that, it was actually pretty fun. I'm not even going to lie to you. It lasted about 30 minutes. And by the time I got to the ground, the guy going to ask me, hey, would you do this again? I look back at him. I said, fool, I just landed. Why you ask me something like this after we just landed?
Do it again.
And I went parasailing last year.
That's fun. That's not too
bad.
That sounds like
that would be fun. But I couldn't do that because I have a fear of, like, all of a sudden the ship breaks and I just go out into the ocean and
goes.
Jaws just take care of me.
Fire up.
Or I get caught up in the shoot and I'm like, bah! And I fucking drown. I'm like, I ain't doing none of that shit. Yeah, I watch too many fucking movies.
Yeah, because you 16. You a nice little meal for them sharks.
You can save some for later.
Jokers are hungry, man.
So when's the last time you did your white folk stuff, Rob?
Which Rob?
Never.
Or
never?
So you ain't never did anything but like, hey, that's my white person thing for the year.
No offense, Rob, but white folks crazy. They have some stupid shit.
No, we are. No. You're not offending me by any means.
I'm totally kidding people who listen. You know, I got a lot of good friends that are crazy.
Yes.
That aren't white.
Me too.
Yes. All right, well,
think about playing in the NBA and playing basketball. You always fear about doing something. I have a fear of getting on a motorcycle. I just feel like something's going to happen to me. I won't do anything crazy. I just always been like that, man. I just have a fear of getting hurt. And I wouldn't even go in the ocean. I wouldn't even go deep sea fishing. And I love to fish. There's a lot of things I won't do because I just have this fear of some bad shit happening. And so.
Okay. And deep sea fishing, by the way, seems like white people shit too. I don't know if it is or not, but it seems like it.
No, it's actually, I've actually made myself go once. And I was sick the whole time, but at least I went out, caught one, and went and laid back down. And so I said I did it. But I was scared the whole time I was there. Scared and seasick.
I will get seasick the whole time. The whole time, man.
I won't even go on a cruise.
I've been on one.
Oh, cruise don't bother me. You know, cruise are fun. They don't bother me. But yeah, sitting on a little boat in the middle of the ocean. Doing this for 2 hours. I'm be like, good night. Yeah, that's it for me.
Hey, it's Robert Ory, and at Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. You can get a powerful nationwide 5G network all without a contract. Simple Mobile, out with the old, in with the simple.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network not available in all areas. 5G upload speeds not yet available.
All right, but look, we have to get, we have a very, the return of a very popular segment here. Speaking of white people shit, this comes to us from the National Hockey League. The NHL playoffs, by the way, going on right now in the return of That's Unfortunate, comes at the expense of NBC Sports commentator and former NHL star Patrick Sharp, who was breaking down a playoffs matchup and gave us this.
Yeah, and I don't mind that for the final couple minutes of a period, but to play a full 20 minutes on your heels like that, you're just waiting for Carolina to come down your throat, which is what they did.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're just waiting. Wait, one more, Patrick, one more time on That's Unfortunate.
Yeah, and I don't mind that for the final couple minutes of a period, but to play a full 20 minutes on your heels like that, you're just waiting for Carolina to come down your throat, which is what they did.
Okay. Very good. And that's the return.
Enough.
That's unfortunate.
I know.
I wonder if you ever
need her.
Yeah. I wonder if you ever watch that back and go, the hell did I just say? What did I just say on television? Like, did that just happen?
I think the other night, I'm not even gonna lie, I was saying Booker, and I said Booger, but
oh, that's not bad though.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
But but you think about it, sometimes you know, you're just saying stuff and it comes out, and people who sitting at home know basketball or, you know, baseball, football, whatever sport it is, you're like, okay. And then you think about it, oh, that didn't sound right. Ooh. Like, for instance, we have this thing in basketball where we used to say lay the wood on them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You really can't say that now because they're like, hold on now. We need to lay the wood on.
Hold on. So,
yeah.
No, it's like when they would talk about strong D. I'm like, no. There's moments where that doesn't really, yeah. And
it's not just when you come, like, it's how hard you come.
Stuff like that. All right, well, listen, let's wrap this up on a positive note this week. We had a very fun show, by the way, so thank you. Mm-hmm. And this week's big shot of the week goes to 7-year-old Chase Poust. Chase and his 4-year-old sister Abigail were swimming on their father's boat in the St. John's River in Jacksonville on Memorial Day weekend last week. Abigail lost hold of the boat. She was in a flotation vest and started to float off in a strong current. So her brother grabs her, father jumps overboard, tells the brother, the 7-year-old Chase, get to shore, I'm going to get your sister. But the current is pulling the dad and the sister out. Well, Chase Pouse, 7 years old, swims a 1 mile, 1 hour swim back to the shore by himself, finds a neighbor, gets on the horn, Florida Fish and Wildlife get out there and rescue his dad and his sister before anything happened to him. So Chase Pouse, 7 years old, 1 hour took him to swim in a mile on his own and saved his family's life.
This is a real story?
This is a real story from this Memorial Day weekend.
That is a special kid to be able to do that. And think about it. I don't think people understand. I was like, oh, they're like, oh, a mile is not that far. That's swimming. Yeah. That shit is hard. In a current at 7 years old. There's so many things that come into play here that make this an amazing story. You know, he pretty much saved his sister and his dad.
Yes, yeah, he did. Oh, I mean, the fact that his first instinct at seven is dive in the water and grab my sister. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, so he said to get to the shore against the current, he would swim and then he would flip over to his back and he'd float for a little while to get his arms back. And then he would turn over and he'd swim. And it took him an hour to do it. And he got in there, and again, his dad and his sister are alive because he found the willpower.
So were they on a boat? They fell off the boat, or how that?
So the 4-year-old, from the way I kind of watched the story and read the story, the 4-year-old and Chase were both hanging on the back of the boat. So they were in the water, but they were holding on to the boat, and they were just kind of floating in the water. Well, Abigail, the 4-year-old, lost hold of the boat, and the current immediately grabbed her and pulled her. So Chase goes in after, dad goes in after the two of them, and dad was holding on to the little girl, trying to keep her from freaking out and panicking, and they're just drifting. And that kid swam a mile.
I hope they had on life vests or something.
The little girl did, yes. The little girl did. But Chase did not. The 7-year-old did not, because 6 and over, I guess you don't have to wear them. But, yeah, 1 hour took him to get to shore without a life vest.
Talk about catapulting you into adulthood. I mean, if that don't – at 7 years old, you're a man now. After something like that, you're a man now.
You get later bedtimes. You get cookies when you want them. Like, I would play that card on my family forever.
I would wait for a special moment that I'm like, hold on, dad, you're not going to buy me. You remember that time I saved your life?
Yeah. I don't
You're not
going to
buy me a Lamborghini, dad.
It's funny because I was thinking about PS5s while you were floating away in a river. Yeah. I would use that forever.
Christmas is going to be fun.
Yeah.
For real.
But did y'all see the girl here in California to save the dogs from the bear?
Oh, yes.
I saw that.
Yeah. Oh, I almost put that down as the big shot of the week. But, yeah, she walked off with a scratch.
How about that? Now, and the bear looked at like, did she just challenge me? And he's like, oh, he pushed me off and come back. And for her to scoop the little dog up, you know.
Get back in the house.
I've been standing at the door like this. Hey, y'all better get in here. Shit, y'all on y'all.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
But in Mama's bear defense, she had a cubs there. She was trying to get them away. So I get both ends of the spectrum because you don't mess with no mama animal when there are cubs or babies around.
That's what I'm saying. For her to have the guts. I think she was, 19, 17 years?
She was 19.
Yeah, she's
19.
Teenager.
And to push the bear and run back and scoop up the dog at the same time.
Look, nothing but mad respect for that woman because my first instinct is never push the bear. Like, my first instinct is.
They say don't poke the bear, right?
No, I'd be throwing like silverware from in the house and be like, get.
No, yeah. I'd be standing at the door and say, y'all better come on or y'all gonna be, y'all gonna be lunch.
Y'all gonna be bear dinner. Y'all move.
Thanks. Hey, yeah.
Scruffy, we just gotta get another dog. You'll be all right.
Sorry, man.
Like you.
All right, man. Get.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. The most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink. We play games. We have the song of the week. We have the creative curse word of the week. As long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!